Welcome, welcome. It's Fat Mascara.
I'm Jen. I'm Jen Sullivan. I just changed my name.
Oh, you changed it?
I went to the Social Security Board and everything. It's a bitch, let's be honest.
What do your parents think?
I'll find out after this podcast when they hear about it.
They didn't know that you changed your name?
They know I am. So I made my last name Goldstein my middle name. So, hi, I'm Jen Goldstein Sullivan. You are?
Jessica Matlin.
Welcome to Fat Mascara.
This whole last name thing is like totally tripping me up.
Oh, I shouldn't have led with that, huh?
No, because I'm thinking about what to do for my little nug.
All right.
Yeah.
But stay tuned, listeners.
So you have this, the middle name is Goldstein and the
yes.
last name is Sullivan.
Jennifer G.
Professionally,
Sullivan.
Like, do we have to change your name on the podcast? Slowly
but surely, we will do that.
So it's going to be Jessica Mountain and Jennifer Sullivan.
Hello.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Okay. So what are we going to talk about today?
All right. So we're going to talk about a few things. One, we're going to like kick off with a bang. Labiaplasty.
Whoa. Go in there.
Okay, I'm going there. Then can a shoe brand succeed at creating a skincare brand? Ambitious, right? And then fall's new hair color. It's very pretty.
Plus, we have such a killer guest. I am so excited. We have Two-Faced co-founder Jared Blandino. He's here to talk sparkles and shimmer and cocoa and better than sex and all the good things. Let's get into it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Wow, I don't know how to get into this, but
let's just
talk about labiaplasty, okay?
Shall we?
And just for those who don't know, a labiaplasty is the labia, which is, I'm going to get very...
And they get plasty.
So the labia is...
We got inner and outer.
Inner and outer
part
labia.
Part of the vulva.
And this is the
part... lips.
Yes, yeah.
All right, I did it for you.
Okay, so your labia comes in all shapes and sizes.
Yeah, you had a conversation with the doctor about this, and yeah. I've been dying to hear what you learned.
Okay, so I feel badly because I don't want people looking at their labia after this and getting all neurotic about it.
But this is something people don't talk about, and that's why I was like, tell me on the show, because
okay,
I want to know.
Okay. So I'm talking to him. His name is Dr. Erez Dayan, D-A-Y-A-N. And Dr. Dayan, I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name, but you were fabulous.
So he's a plastic surgeon.
So yeah, Dr. Dayan is a plastic surgeon, and we actually met to talk about a great new technology that I'm going to be writing about for Harper's Bazaar, and I'll bring it to you guys too. But so we talked about this technology. But then at the end, he said, well, you know, you can also use this technology, labiaplasty. And he's just whipping through his phone, showing me, you know, some face stuff. And then suddenly, bam.
Vulva's in your face.
Vulva's in my face. But when you see the vulva up close, it looks like this abstract thing.
Without
like,
context.
Like Georgia O'Keeffe. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand the before and after pictures, because to me, vulvas on the left look like fine. Like the vaginas on the left look fine. And the ones on the right look fine. They just look different. And I said, wait a second. How many of these are you doing? Like my mind was blown. I think his PR was kind of surprised that we now we're looking at like, you know, triple X photos.
Yeah.
And he said, well, this is a really popular procedure. And he was not pushing and he wasn't like, this is amazing. I do it.
Yeah.
But he said, you know, a lot of people get this done. And I was like, yeah, like probably like after childbirth, 50s, 60s, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he said, no, millennials. He said, that's my biggest, yeah, like the biggest base of people who want labiaplasties. And I said, why do you think that is? And he said, well, this made me laugh. I thought he was going to say porn, but I think at that point.
That's what I was thinking.
That's a logical thought. But he said, Lululemon. He said
leggings.
All of the leggings. I don't think he was calling out just Lululemon, but you know, that.
But tight clothing.
Tight clothing. People want to wear like short shirts with it or a sports bra. And, you know, I never thought about my labia in my life until really like the last year.
Okay.
Just because of even like just the last few months because you're pregnant and all that shit.
Yeah.
But like once I saw him, I was like, are my friends or are our listeners thinking about this? I'm really curious. Is this something that you guys think about?
Yeah. And I've gone through like I actually have looked at these pictures because when I first heard this was a surgery, I was like, all of a sudden, wait, is this the thing I have to worry about? And you look at the pictures and I was like, I think I look like the before pictures and maybe not the after pictures, but I never even thought that it was.
The after pictures look like babies.
It's very odd. And so then you told me, and I heard this from my friend who also works in women's health, that how many vaginas did that OBGYN say she saw in her lifetime?
So when I brought it to my gyno? Yes. Okay, so I went for like one of my 18 billion gyno appointments lately and I go and I just was like, hey, like, you know, everything's cool down there, right? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, all right. And she's like, why are you asking me? This is like once we're in the office after the examination.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, because I met with like this plastic surgeon. Like I was like trying to like be like, I know other doctors, lady. And I said, you know, he does this, procedure, the labiaplasty. She kind of rolled her eyes and she was like, I can't. She's like, I've seen like 60,000 vaginas. And they all look very different. And she said the only reason why anyone should have a labiaplasty is if it literally like hurts for them to wear pants.
Okay, so there's
or like they're sitting down on their vagina.
So if there's an uncomfortable issue, there's a medical reason to have it. In fact, I looked into this. You can actually insurance would cover it for some people if they have a medical issue because of it. For example, like friction or it hurts to ride a bike or intercourse is painful. But other than that, when it's purely cosmetic, she's saying they. Fours, the afters, it's all all gravy.
This is something that that I think if all the insecurities in the world, I'd really love for us ladies to like shelve this one.
I know. I feel like we have to have one. Who is the woman who owns V-Spot?
Oh, Cindy Barshop.
And we didn't even talk about this with her.
Well, she doesn't do that.
Right, because it just didn't even come up. But it's interesting to know that there are new ways to do it, probably that are less invasive than used to be. So if you have a medical issue, this is something to look into. But honestly, after I Googled it, after you talked about it, I was like, I don't need to Google this again because it's just making me feel like, wow. Like,
yeah,
I don't, like they're all different.
I do think the porn thing is a huge part of it.
Yeah. So the ones in graphic videos like all look the same. But...
Yeah, because they've gotten like the $3,000.
Okay, so we've all become inclusive as far as beauty advertising goes. Let's move into the adult film industry with that. And maybe nobody needs a labiaplasty. True or not true?
True.
Okay. So from vulvas, let's go to talk about shoes and Birkenstocks, shall we?
Wow, it's just getting sexier
it's
by
our
the
new,
second.
Our new side podcast, Vulvas and Birkenstocks. That probably is a podcast.
It sounds very Brooklyn.
Okay, get this. I was so excited to learn that Birkenstock is coming out with a skincare brand. I don't know why I was excited, but except for this is a brand that I have, like, I just have loyalty to. It's like I've worn their shoes forever and ever. And then I stopped and I thought, does Birkenstock need a skincare brand? What's your immediate thought?
I've never worn a Birkenstock.
You haven't?
No.
Literally, I've never not had a pair in my closet since I was like 14.
But,
this is why we're so good together. Hold my hand, yin and yang.
I've never seen a Birkenstock.
You look appalled. For those of you who don't know, they're a cork bed sandal. Anyway,
and I have wide width feet. Like, I have like Flintstone feet, so I should be living in them.
So, as I was planning this segment, I was like, well, I don't really have much to say about it, except they use cork, the same as the shoe does, for moisturizing properties, which I think is a cool natural ingredient. It's a very quote unquote clean beauty brand. And then I thought, but it's cool because, like, what other shoe brand has done makeup? And then I stopped. I guess.
Freaking Louboutin does makeup.
Oh, I thought it was going to be like, does Doc Martens have like a black eyeliner?
No, Christian Louboutin, former podcast guest, also did
That's
beauty.
That's true. That's true. But he has always been associated with glamour and
it's
like
true.
Sexiness.
And he had the red painted soles, which came from nail polish. Yeah. And so that made sense. He made a red nail polish and then expanded from there.
Yeah, it felt a bit organic. Birkins, you know what? Maybe it's like
the— Girl, this is the most organic thing there is.
It's it literally, it's— It is like a lifestyle brand. You know, when I always ask this question because it pisses me off. Hmm. When brands say they're a lifestyle brand, what does it mean?
Emily Weiss had an answer for us.
She said, do you want to be like Nike? But that wasn't like she's going into towels.
She said, if you think about it, it's a brand that you wouldn't mind wearing a sweatshirt with their logo.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Because many beauty brands, you would not wear their sweatshirt logo. And she was like, don't think about Chanel or Givenchy or whatever. So Glossier, you'll wear a sweatshirt brand with their logo. So this would be like if Glossier started making sneakers.
It's like and people would probably buy this, too.
So I'm curious to see if people are going to be into this and think that they have the knowledge and the know-how to do it. Just like I think Louboutin had to work around it. First, they were sold in the fashion area with the shoes. And then as people were like, oh, these are good products, they had their moment.
And
you know?
Is there like a hero or something? Like what kind of products can we expect?
I mean, they're already out. So they all have they're all natural and, you know, no phthalates, all that good stuff. With the cork is the special ingredient. But moisturizing foot balm, I think, is the hero ingredient, which makes sense.
That makes sense to me. And also, I think the Birkenstock consumer, like, I think a lot of them probably are not beauty buffs.
And might not even be using these things. Yeah. And when they see Birkenstock makes it, it's like an entry gateway point for them to get into beauty. Do I think they're going to do sparkly eyeshadow? Probably not.
That's interesting.
They start with a moisturizing foot balm and go from there. So anyway, I just had to bring it to your attention because I loved Birkenstock. And I don't know why I assumed that you would too. But obviously, you don't love Birkenstocks.
Have you ever seen me in like a Jesus sandal?
No. Is that what you call them? They're so cool and comfortable. I even have a platform version. Anyway, we'll see what
you enjoy them. They look good on you.
All right. And any day now, Nike's going to have their lip balm and then we'll all be happy.
Our new intern, Luca, she's laughing. She's trying to. You'll meet her later.
Okay.
But I feel happy that she's laughing on her first day.
So usually when we talk about hair color, I'm like, trends? It's not trendy. It's your hair color. Mm-hmm. But then every couple seasons, there comes a hair color where I'm like, everybody's doing it. Remember the chunky highlight Spice Girls
days?
A long time ago.
Yeah, like the raccoon streaks or something. I don't know.
And then we had maybe 4 years ago, everybody was doing the brightly colored hair. Aura Friedman
was
started
on the show.
That thing.
Rose gold hair.
Yeah, rose gold was the thing. So there's this trend I've been seeing, and it's sort of like that. I'm going to call it faded pastel, but it's almost as if that color hair that Aura used to do completely washed out. So you're like, something's up with that blonde.
And you're cool with it.
Yeah. Or something's up with that brunette. It's just got a little something. So we were at that Physicians Formula event and the makeup artist had it. And I remember I stopped her and I was supposed to be asking about the makeup. And I was like, what is up with your hair? Why is your— It was like a blondish brown. I was like, but why is it good? And I wanted to share what she did. Pink tinted conditioner. So it's not a hair color. To get this faded pastel look, I was like, oh, you can go to your colorist and bring a picture. You really can't.
No, I think this is something that if you went to the colorist, maybe, you know, people who are highly skilled like Aura could figure this out.
To make it look like it was washed out
already. But for the average person, this kind of cool washed out look, I don't spend $300 on this. If you have, you need lighter hair though. That's the rub.
You do. Well, hey, I have my white streak, so there's that. But I also was— I don't think so. I dyed it once for the World Cup. I got very excited and I did temporary color, red, white, blue in the streak.
Oh my God,
I don't know. I was very into the soccer for a second. But anyway, it does work on brunettes too, because I was looking around online at some pictures. Just using a red or pink tinted conditioner gives it like not that reddish tint you'd get from if you used an auburn hair dye.
Right.
But like in certain light, you're like, huh. Something's going on there.
So if you are curious about this kind of thing.
Yes.
I personally would check out this brand that keeps on getting mentioned by all the colorists. Overtone.
People are obsessed with Overtone. It's tinted. They're not, I wouldn't call them dyes, but there is pigment molecules in them, right?
Yes. And I think that, you know, all this stuff is pretty temporary. Okay. Then there is Lime Crime, which, like, I mean, Doe Deer was so, like, she always had, like, wacky color hair and everything. So there's that conditioner.
DP Hue does some tinted conditioners as well, correct?
They do. They do.
And Christophe Robin does, like, a tinted mask that I've seen people using. And sometimes even the corrective conditioners, like the bluish ones that are for blonde hair to make it ashier, if you use enough of it, it'll give you a little bit of a tint.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun because you can play with it. Listen, if you spent $400 on platinum blonde hair,
don't fuck with it. You know what I'm saying? Like they can stain hair.
But just for like a fun thing, Sam Nybar on my team had like a little pink moment in like her hair for a minute. And like literally it was gone in a flash. Like it was just very, it was awesome, but it was, you don't have to commit to this the same way.
I know. And I want to come up with a better name than Faded Pastel, but this fall I've been seeing it everywhere. And I think that's it. It's like a blush to the hair or something.
Blush.
It's like your hair is blushing.
Hair blush.
Hair blush.
Is that, I don't know if that's a thing. My hair's too dark for this. My hair's too dark for this.
All right. Well, redheads, it feels weird because you already have that color to your hair. But I might play with it. And so we'll put some links to some of these tinted conditioners that really can
help
you
do this. Do you want to tie it to a sporting event?
Are you talking about my World Cup hair? Don't front on my World Cup hair. Now it's football season.
Here we go.
Should I go green?
Ole, ole.
Oh, my God. Stop it. I feel like there was Birkenstocks in football, and now you're just judging me.
I'm not judging you. I'm just like,
I'm not as glamorous as you.
I just adore you, Jen. I just adore you.
All right.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
We are here. Oh my gosh, you just give me like a boost of energy just being here. We are here with Jared Blandino, who co-created the sparkliest, cheekiest brand we know of, Too Faced. I'm wearing it right now.
Yay.
Lots to talk about. Let's just get into it. Now, Jared, first of all, thanks for being here. I know you have a very busy day.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here. I've wanted to be here for so long, so it's a dream come true for me. I'm here.
Thank you. Okay, well, yeah, we've wanted you on the show for a while. So I know that all of our listeners are familiar with Too Faced, but they might not know you as well. So I just want to do a little lightning round, just a little icebreaker.
Sure.
So that we understand who we're talking to.
Is this going to be a drinking game? Because I'm going to need something.
We used to have alcohol at our recessions. I don't know why we stopped. Okay.
Damn, it's not as fun anymore.
Enjoy your water. Okay.
Yeah, thanks.
Favorite ice cream?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Favorite ice cream. Malted milk ball. What's it called? I don't eat it a lot, but it's malted milk balls.
This isn't a game show. There's no rush. It's fine.
Oh my God, it was so good. I was just talking about this. I think it's called malted milk ball.
Yeah, just like a chocolate malt.
Or butter pecan. My sister always got that and I would steal hers so I could have both. Ooh. But I'm a chocolate guy and I love malted milk balls and they make that in ice cream.
I love chocolate. Okay. What's on your DVR right now, or whatever you want to call it?
Okay,
on
well,
demand.
Truth, I don't know how to work anything. So if Jeremy's not there, I literally just listen to music because I don't know how to make the TV work. But I'm totally obsessed with the Great British Baking Show.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
My off. Crack. Mm-hmm. I'm done. I started baking because of it. I can't cook. I can't bake. I can't do anything domestic. And I started doing it because it was like, it looked so creative. And I thought, wow. Yeah. This is a really cool thing. So I've been actually doing it on my Instagram and showing people how to kind of bake as a novice.
They should have you on as a special guest.
They totally should. I'm ready.
I know.
The celebrity edition,
like,
yes.
Producers listening?
They wanted me to do Dancing with the Stars. I'm like, no, I'm waiting for the baking show to call.
I think that was smart
strategy. They really wanted you to do
Well, I mean, I got a call, but I mean, it didn't go that far, but I don't know.
He gets lots of calls.
I get calls, Charlie. I get calls.
Okay. Pet peeve.
Oh, thrift, cheap people.
Cheap people.
That's a good one.
Okay.
Yeah, life's too short.
Like people who like tip really cheap or people
just
who buy like...
Just all of it.
Yeah.
Just, you know, don't be irresponsible, but guys, like, share, have fun.
Okay.
Like, light it up.
Yeah.
You know?
Celebrity crush.
Celebrity crush.
It could be an oldie or a newie.
I'll tell you, and she's a good friend of mine, but Madonna, she is so soft and she smells so good. She makes me question my sexuality.
Oh. What does she wear? What does she smell like? I've heard she smells really good.
She smells amazing. Like Madonna.
Is it floral or is it...
It's like a combination of like church smells with sex and flowers and exotic kind of nuances.
Like all her albums combined.
It kind of. And she's so soft and firm. It's like she's like a silk teddy bear.
She's amazing
and gorgeous.
Ooh,
beautiful.
Hot in here. Okay. Most embarrassing song on your playlist. We know you listen to music at home. So what is like?
Oh, but probably My Heart Goes On by Celine Dion.
That song makes me sad.
There's a time and a place. Okay. When you're in the bath, you've had, listen, you're getting all the feels. Let Celine Dion roll.
You're like, I sound just like her singing along.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
That was good. I feel like I know you.
Right?
Oh, it's my turn, right?
Let's hug.
I was like, uh-huh. She's just staring at me. Okay, let's get into the beauty stuff. Okay, so this is sort of famous lore in the beauty world now, but you got your start behind a counter, correct?
Yes.
Whose counter?
Estee Lauder, my only job ever. And I fell into it on complete accident.
I have to imagine, and I don't know if this is true, but you were like a top seller?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I fell into cosmetics, like I said, by complete accident.
Wow.
I was teaching kids art and going to school, and I just fell into it on accident. And within, 6 months, I was the highest grossing salesperson within my entire region. I was actually in the smallest store. I was in a little store in Palos Verdes, California, a tiny little store. And I had this, you know, I was a part of a large region, and there was a huge store called Del Amo. And I was selling more than their entire counter at my tiny little outpost.
Now, did you consider yourself a makeup artist at that point, or were you just like selling?
No, I clicked into it because it was literally doing art as opposed to doing it on canvas, because I was an artist my whole life and I went to animation school and I did all this stuff.
Oh, neat.
But I got kicked out of everything because I have trouble obeying rules that I don't find helpful.
You're a questioner.
Yeah, I am a questioner. I'm a total rebel when it comes to like why. If it makes sense, I'll do it. But if not, you know.
Right.
And so I just found my niche, and it was like instilling self-esteem into women at the same time as recreating and reinventing somebody through art. And I just clicked. Everything clicked.
What was your Estee Lauder product that you were like, I'll sell one of these to everyone?
Girl. Well, Fruition and Advanced Net Repair, which was, we start
yes,
with skincare.
Brown bottle, yes.
But I was obsessed with brows and eyeliner and bronzers and things that I could really just do other things with.
Yeah.
You know, like
a
break
versatile,
it out.
Like multi-purpose.
Yeah.
Thing.
Oh yeah. And just like spin it on its head. And I would crush up like a blush and mix it with a Chanel eyeliner and then
I'm
melt
sure they
in.
Love that at Estee Lauder.
I destroyed every tester in the tester unit.
I don't like your color story. I'm doing my own.
I would. That's kind of how Too Faced began. I would just destroy all the testers in the department. Everyone hated me because I would like destroy everything.
Yeah,
that
how
they
are
were
you
showing.
Getting all these testers? You
they
just
were
like...
they were like at the counters next to me, and while the girls were on the phone or like painting their nails, I would just take whatever
out.
I wanted.
That's so funny.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but you weren't. It wasn't like, oh, I've always loved beauty, and my Mm-mm. dream is to have a line.
No.
But once you were Estee Lauder and you were like rocking and rolling, they obviously you had the idea for Too Faced, right? Or Too Faced.
Well,
like,
from the very beginning,
out of that.
I entered into the cosmetics game with absolutely no preconceived notion or idea of it. So when I got in, I was like, whoa, you're all taking this too seriously. You're it's too intimidating. And let's make this fun. Like, it's so much more fun to be a girl, especially in the 90s. I mean, you got to reinvent yourself every day and spend time in the mirror and do your brows and do your makeup.
Oh, good.
And
it wasn't just me.
No. And I thought, like, as a boy, as a guy looking at it from that perspective, I was like, I'm going to be your gay best friend for 10 minutes. Sit down. Honey, who told you that was okay? But let's make it better. and it was hard for a girl to kind of react the same way I would, because there was, you know, there was a sense of either being rude or it being competition. And like, if a girl was like, girl, who told you to do that?
Oh, so but you think being a man.
As a guy, I'm like, who told you that was okay? Get right, over here. Sit right. down. Like, that bro.
You're absolutely right.
So this leads me to something that we talk about a lot on the podcast. Now, I feel like very fuddy-duddy that I keep on like banging this drum, but I'm all about the department store. Like,
yes.
I love the department store. I love the counter. Like, talking about the 90s.
Yes.
Longtime listeners will know, like, I, you know, would camp out at Mac and like wait for this guy, Timothy, who I literally thought was like a freaking celebrity. Now I realize that he was like just normal, you know, mm-hmm. like they were like the rock stars, the yeah. influencers of my time.
Yeah.
And I know that there's so much conversation away for, you know, like, you know, you buy things at like a multi-branded, you know,
sure.
store or
it changed.
Online. It changed. But do you think there's still a space for that person? Because I can't get a best friend for 10 minutes at most of these places.
You know, one of the beautiful things about kind of open sales that it took the counter away, so you were able to touch and feel and play. But there was something very theatrical about the counter. It was like a stage. So you didn't cross it. So there was,
yeah.
do you know what I mean? There was something mm-hmm. more theatrical and more kind of, I don't know, ceremonial about it.
It made you feel special.
Yeah, and I wouldn't mind paying more because I felt like...
You had an expert over there.
Yeah.
I almost thought of myself like, I'm going to approach this like a doctor. Like, I'm going to prescribe stuff that you need in a way, you know, that like a doctor would, because it was really about sharing my expertise and my heart with you.
Yeah.
And when you had the wrong foundation and there was a line of demarcation on your jaw, or your brow was all like, you know, jacked up, or... the concealer was wrong, whatever, I would approach it like, let me service you as though, you know, kind of like in a medical way, like how I viewed a doctor helping me
yeah.
in that helpful way, using a form of knowledge that I didn't have. But then surrounding it in a candy coating of love, like, I'm going to be your best friend for this moment.
Yeah.
And together, we're going to help you achieve the absolute best version of yourself so you can go out into the world and get everything you want. And that's what Too Faced is.
Yeah.
To this
but
very
even
day.
Even without the... quote unquote counter lady.
No, exactly. So okay. I'm in every product. Like, my heart and soul is in absolutely every product that we do. And I don't work the way a normal founder or chief creative officer works. I do every formula, almost every single idea comes from me. I do box copy. I create the boxes. I do counter fixtures. Everything you see and touch comes from me. And it's a bit obsessive. It's a bit controlling. It's exhausting. but I don't know how to do it any other way.
And everything is so, like, specifically Too-Faced. It doesn't feel
yes.
like it's kind of wavering or...
No, it's a state of mind. Yeah. Too-Faced has a heartbeat. And I'm in the game for 21 years, not because, you know, I want to be rich or I want to do this or that. It really is, I want to spread my light and I want to make the world a more beautiful place. And that doesn't just mean from the outside. I want to instill self-esteem and confidence and humor, because we're lacking humor, glamour,
yeah,
fun.
So it's funny. I actually remember hearing somebody say, I think it was Gabrielle Bernstein. She was like, if you want to be successful, like, you have to come from a point of service. It can't just be like the goal. Like, you have to, how can I help others? So that's just making me think of that.
Absolutely.
Something else like that I find a lot on this podcast is, you know, somebody has this great origin story and like, we absolutely adore it. And then they're like, and then I started my line and it's like, whoa, 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 back up. Now, I'm not asking you to like tell me about like every business loan that you got, but how did you get from behind the counter messing with like, you know, multiple brands and the test?
Yeah.
To, you know, Jen, I know you guys were just talking right outside the studio about, you know, when Too Faced first came to Sephora.
Yeah.
Like, how did you get from A to like Z?
Wow. You know, I'm actually writing a book, so I'm having to relive all this right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
And it's kind of an interesting story. It would not be able to happen today because it was done in the late 90s, 1998. There were only really kind of classic established brands then. There weren't, the indie category didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Hard Candy came before me and Urban Decay came before me.
Mm-hmm.
But it really just came from a sense of, it was actually being so naive, we didn't know it was impossible. And
so
it was
just like cold called manufacturers?
Honey, blind ambition.
Really?
Like pure ambition. And And when I worked behind the counter, guys, like, I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what that world was. So I would call corporate all the time and just be like, oh, I just had this amazing sale.
Oh, my God, you were that guy.
Yes. And I was calling presidents of departments, not knowing that that was, like, weird. And I'd be like, why isn't our concealer like this? And why does our face chart look like a grandma did it? And, like, I would send them products going, we should do this. Like, I just didn't know better.
Like the assistant that has a lot of ideas.
Yes.
And it's like, okay. All right.
But I backed it up. I backed my shit up.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I was the highest, in the end, when I left, I was the highest paid salesperson in the entire store.
And at what point did you leave? Was the brand already in the works on the side?
So
how did you not get sued?
Okay. So I found out where a lab was because Estee Lauder used to take me out to lunch and stuff, and because I was this wild kid. And
did John Dempsey meet
you
there?
Yes, John Dempsey was my executive at the time. This is like full circle shit.
This is so funny.
And anyway, so he took me out. He would show me stuff, and we'd have lunch. And in fact, he offered me this big job once, and I was like, okay, tell me about it. And he's like, we want you to travel all over. You're going to be here. You're going to be there. And I'm like, I don't want to do that, but I want the money. And why would I leave? Like, why would I jump on a plane? And he was like, who are you? But anyway, so I found out where a couple labs were and called and said, hi, I'm with Estee Lauder. I did not say at the mall. And I have this idea. And so they let us in and we created the first glitter eyeshadow.
They had no idea you weren't like the product development.
You know what? It's so true, guys. And it wasn't even like I was lying. I just didn't know better. So they're like, where are you from? I'm like, Estee Lauder. And, you know, which is so stupid because I didn't. But I was. I had.
You weren't lying.
So I was there. Maybe it's like a month and a half in and we were starting the first collection. I'm like, oh, I have to leave. I have a shift at 4. And they're like, you have a shift? I go, yeah, I have to work at 4. And they were like, what do you do? And I was like, what do you think I do?
Like, they're like, product development in Estee Lauder.
So funny.
I went at the mall, bitch. I gotta go.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
The balls. I love it.
Yeah. Okay, so you didn't even realize that what you were doing was like messed up.
No, I didn't know how this shit worked.
I love it. This actually, and it infuses the whole brand. And this is the thing that sets your brand apart, I think. It's this fantasy land, the humor. Because a lot of times with glamour, you don't get humor. It's all like perfect and coffee. And we love that about your brand. When you started out, was there anybody else doing that kind of thing?
Not that I know of. And
where does it come from? Is that your personal personality?
Yes. Just growing up,
I mean,
always.
I'm getting a taste of it, so yes.
Always, always, always. I was very creative, always.
You weren't going to do, like, Bobbi Brown neutrals as much as I love Bobbi.
No, because we need people like that, guys.
What was your first product?
Glitter. We launched with 10 eyeshadows, 10 lipsticks, and 8 nail polishes. And we did the first glitter eyeshadow ever. There weren't any before. If they were, I have no idea. I did not know where they were. And
was this the split pan? Jess and I were just
yes.
Was there one called Teddy Bear, or am I making
no,
it up?
No, Ooh and Ah was the first glitter duo.
Okay, okay.
And it came from, I was in the lab working on a matte black, and across the lab were all these jars full of glitter. And that's where the lip glosses were being made. Oh, and I didn't know. So I ran over and I grabbed a huge jar of silver glitter and I brought it back over. And I said, put this in there. She's like, no, you can't. I go, why?
That's for lips.
Yeah. And she's like, she was telling me about binders and things, which I didn't understand. And I said, then add more binder. What are you talking about? Like, just do it. And it worked. It worked. But unfortunately, I wasn't smart enough at the time to know about contracts and non-competes and things. And they sold it to the whole world.
Wait, they sold what to
their glitter?
That glitter eyeshadow formula.
Oh.
And it's fine.
But you probably learned a lot of those things along the way, right?
Oh, of course. Yes.
Okay.
But I was just so proud that.
Wait, so Too Faced could have been the only brand in the world with glitter eyeshadow if you had gotten an exclusive on that formula.
Well, in that formula.
Until someone else came in.
I mean, you change it a little here.
Wait,
you change it.
How did you, back up, how did you not get in trouble? Like, you know, if Jen and I decide to start another, like, magazine, like, you know, Harper Claire or whatever,
Harper's Bazaar magazine,
while we're at our jobs, I don't think that you know, our president would be very happy. So how did this all happen? I know you guys are cool now.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Should
we connect
that dot
now
really quickly?
Oh yeah, yeah.
In case anybody doesn't know, Estee Lauder now own. Well, do they own your company? How do you say that?
Well,
I think they bought it.
Yeah.
You got don't sound so upset. You got $1.45 billion. Can't even say it like a person because I'm so stunned. $1.45.
I got $1.5 billion for it, baby.
No big deal.
Breaking records. No.
Just in case anybody gets water
under the bridge. I mean, that figure is true. But,
okay, so back to the.
I just don't think about it like that. Like, I don't think about it like that. I just feel like I just have a bigger family.
It's like an injection so you could do all the things that
kinda.
You want.
Kind of. I guess I just can't wrap my head around
that. You
have
more support.
Yeah.
I would like 1.45 billion things of support.
Oh, come on.
No, well, okay, so you didn't get in trouble with Estee Lauder, though?
No, when I was too low on the totem pole. Are you kidding? I was like, please. I'm sure now things are probably different. I don't know what contracts look like now when you go work behind the counter. But at the time, so I was working behind the counter, and at lunch, We had sold Too Faced into Nordstrom, so I worked at Saks. And at lunch, I would walk down the mall. I would. And I'd walk into Nordstrom. I would sell Too Faced at lunch, and then I'd walk back to Estee Lauder. And we got a Vogue feature. And, you know, typically it takes 3 months to go from beginning to end in a magazine. So you would do an interview. 3 months later, the magazine comes out.
Yeah.
A story had fallen out, so we got a call from Vogue. And it was like a four-week turnaround.
How did Vogue discover you?
Because I sent our entire club. I just called people up. I didn't know how it worked. So I called Vogue. I called everybody. I was like, hey, I have this new makeup line. Again, there was no indie kind of category. So they're like, what? Send it to me, whatever. And yeah. I sent them the whole line and they loved it. So we got a feature in Vogue.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And so I'm at an Estee Lauder kind of training and my executive comes in with Vogue and throws it down and says, what the hell is going on? And I'm like, oh my God, isn't it great? Oh my God. Like, you know, I thought she'd be so proud. And then I'm like, I think I have to quit. I don't know. So I quit.
Did you have to have a lot of investment to get that, to get Too Faced started? Because like, doesn't it take like $1 million to think about starting something?
Today, yes, because you don't have the luxury of failing today. I can't even imagine the pressure these young brands have. I mean, I have so much respect for them now. But my dad gave me some money. I used a couple credit cards.
Nobody, your first order of...
Yeah, nobody would give us a loan.
Yeah.
I met some amazing people who believed in me and believed in Jeremy and I. And we launched Too Faced and it grew organically and it grew slowly and it grew very, very strong. It wasn't an overnight
success.
You and
Jeremy were together at the ground floor.
Yeah. We did this together. Jeremy's the business mind. He's the most incredible business mind.
How did you guys meet?
We met through friends at a hair salon. I was getting my hair cut and he came in. I was getting my hair colored. And we met and we've kind of never been apart. We met in our very early 20s. We created Too Faced 2 years after we met.
Your lives have certainly changed since you guys met.
Yeah. Yeah, it has. But it's been an amazing ride.
This is a good movie. This is like,
there are a couple of people.
He's writing a book.
But can't you just, I'm seeing this all play out. Like you're like checking someone out, like while you're talking to the lab, like, okay, have a good day, ma'am.
Yeah.
I want Timothy Chalamet to play you. Can you see it?
Babe-alicious.
Let's do that.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Anyway, I am living proof that if you work really, really hard, you want to do good in this world, you keep your integrity, you don't give up.
You'll make $1.45 billion.
Yeah, your dreams can come true. I was the guy who my friends always got better jobs than I did. Their lives moved faster. And I was always the one feeling like, why can't I catch a break? Why can't I get that? But God just had other plans for me and I needed to wait. And even to this day, things take longer than I ever imagined them to be, but they're always 10 times bigger than I could ever dream them to be.
That's
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no,
so
I
it's
get
having
that,
faith.
Yeah.
Like sometimes I'll be like, God, I trust you. Like, I don't get it, but I trust you.
Do you pray a lot?
Yeah, all the time. Very religious.
Were you religious growing up?
Yes.
It's like Jesus take the wheel kind
Jesus
of attitude.
Jesus take the wheel. Yeah. We actually, Jeremy and I listen to Jesus Calling every single day. And we're on our third year. Every single day, it's on your phone. And you can listen to it. It takes about 5 seconds. And you listen to Jesus Calling. And he gives you just a little.
Whose voice is it?
It's this really cool guy's voice. It's like God.
The voice of Jesus?
It's like God. Yeah. But they just give you little.
That's a gig.
I don't know. It's just
affirmations
like.
Affirmations and things. That's
just
cool.
Little tips and tricks to move through your day and to remember what counts and where your love and your energy comes from and to keep you focused. Because this isn't about $1.5 billion. It isn't about fame in the end, because that shit can destroy you. Money and fame is a magnifying glass, guys. This is what it is. If you're a miserable, selfish, kind of self-destructive person, money and fame will just take you down. It magnifies
it. I feel like I'm
it.
Somebody who would be great with $1.45.
Oh, you look like you'd be so good with it. But honestly, if you're like grounded and generous and happy.
The money won't change you.
Well, I think we all change, but it lifts you up. Listen, you have to figure a way through success. Like what people don't tell you is the more successful you become, people leave you. It's just a trip.
It changes the dynamics of everything.
It does. Changes people around you. I'm sure I've changed, but I don't think the core of who I am has changed at all.
Or your brand's core values.
Or your beliefs. Yeah.
And my morals aren't for sale. Like we've had opportunities throughout the years to make a shit ton of money going to China or going to other places, but I absolutely will never participate in animal testing.
So you don't sell in China?
No.
That's cool. Do you know, I feel badly I didn't know that. That's a very, very cool.
No, from the very beginning, I'm a vegetarian. I've been one forever and since I was like 17. And it's because I saw a cow die. I don't want to participate in anything that would cause pain or degrade anything. Like, I'm just not about that.
That's awesome.
But I'm not going to judge anybody who does. Like, you know, you do you. I'm not like that. But I don't want that. And I want to spread God's love and I want to spread the light. And I just want to do good in this world. And I want to have fun.
Well, you definitely have fun.
I'm having fun.
Yeah.
Let's have fun.
You brought the fun.
Listen, I sound like I'm like very good. I'm actually like naughty, but you can be both, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I gotta get back to like our questions because we have a lot more to ask you. And I know that we could probably go off the rails here if we really get into it. Okay. So there are a lot of other sparkly brands out there, not naming names, but like you guys were first in the space of, you know, like boom, have fun, like love yourself, the whole thing, which
cheeky
is like
names,
very
sexy.
Yeah,
stuff.
It's very like in fashion right now, and it has been for a while. So how do you guys stay ahead of it so that you make sure that you're not blurring with all of this?
You know, I think one of the biggest factors to our success and to why we've been that brand that captures the it generation, whether you call it millennial, Gen Z, Gen X, or, you know, it moves every 10 years. Mm-hmm. And the reason I think that we've been able to capture that core demographic from day one and we still have it today is that we're just authentic, and I'm exactly who I am, and I want you to be exactly who you are. And I absolutely believe that we don't have to be the same, but we must celebrate and love each other for our differences.
So it's not about the aesthetic so much, it's about the energy.
I mean, the aesthetics are definitely who I am and what I feel, and that's like the core of my artistic vision. But as far as what I name things and call things and how I move through the world and how I create, it's pure and authentic. And I'm not trying to be something I'm not. I'm not trying to capture a demographic. I don't use studies. I don't use any of this kind of synthetic shit that will help larger corporations navigate through what's cool. Like, you can't define what cool is.
Yeah.
And it's just pure. It's just pure creation, heart, love, celebration of beauty, and instinct.
Well, when you're ready to then expand into other categories, you've done shimmer eyeshadow, you've done that. Now you're moving into skincare a little bit. So that's just coming from a place of, I feel like it's right for the brand right now.
Yes.
Are you going to double down on the skincare, go into other categories?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
What's next?
I had a meeting yesterday about doing something really exciting. I'll never ever do anything that I wouldn't want to purchase myself. So it has to be, it has to go through knowledge and education. I have to figure it out. I have to learn my way through it.
So were there challenges like, okay, I got to learn about dermatology now?
Yeah, well, I've always been obsessed with skincare, and I'm a huge fan of other brands. So I really just educated myself over the last several years about what I like, what I don't, what I would change about it, what I wish it did, what I wish I could have, what I love. And I took all of those things to the labs and worked with some of the best scientists in the world to create what I believe is for me, the most efficacious, cutting edge, user-friendly, proactive skincare that I need myself, that will that will energize and preserve what I've got, that'll keep me healthy and clear, that'll make your makeup better, because in the end, I create makeup.
Yeah.
So plump, you know, wonderful, luminous skin's only going to make your foundation.
What was the thing, like you said you brought that silver glitter over to put it with the black eyeshadow. Was there a moment like that with skincare where they're like, we don't do that?
Yeah, I'll tell you. I guess I'm getting ahead, but I'll tell you. When I was an art teacher, we went to a movie at one of these museums, and they were, it was about kind of how the earth moved and like dinosaurs and things. And they were talking about falling stars and how falling stars that hit the earth are capture this kind of energy. And it's a mineral actually that once it hits the earth and it goes through the atmosphere, it holds onto this energy, and there's this mineral that I always kept that in the back of my head. What is that? And they would they're harvested in North Africa and Morocco and places like that where I think they fall.
Like the minerals are harvested?
Yeah, because it's not a star. It's like a piece of outer space junk, and you see the star
falling,
when it comes
through
the atmosphere.
It's a mineral. A star, I guess, is a mineral, and it falls through the atmosphere. And it holds
energy.
Well,
we're glossing over a little science, but keep going.
Well, I know. There's a lot more there. But I was
really
always like,
beautiful.
What is that? Talk to me. So I started inquiring about that. And we found a resource of this amazing
extraterrestrial mineral.
Yes. And it holds this incredible energy that activates your skin, energizes your skin, and reactivates your cells.
Plus, it's a really pretty story.
And it's a beautiful story.
I think it's the story that's got me.
And
it
gives you a beautiful, immediate glow. So when you put it on in the mirror, you instantly look better.
So which product is this?
Or well,
is it coming out?
It's coming out. But yeah. I have a serum and an SPF moisturizer that I absolutely love. But when I get in bed at night and I'm putting on my skincare and I'm going to crawl in bed with Jeremy, I want to look good. I don't want to look greasy and heavy. I want to look good.
Oh, so, I'm like embalmed some nights.
Honey, I like layer it up. But
do you wear makeup to bed?
I don't wear makeup. I actually wear a little powder and I'll put a little bronzer, but I'm not like a makeup.
I thought we were having a Charlotte Tilbury moment when she told us she like puts on a whole face before she goes to bed.
No,
but you put on your beautiful skincare.
I just want to look my best. So whether you're kissing your cat, you're kissing your honey, you know, I want to look it. So when I'm in the mirror putting it on, this Stardust mineral just lights your skin up immediately and you look amazing. And then I learned while being at Versailles, I got this amazing opportunity to get a private tour of Versailles. And the woman who was giving the tour told me about how moonlight is dangerous and it affects the carpets and the materials and the wallpapers.
Oh, like stop a full moon.
Yes. And I was like, wait, what? We have to
like it technically affects
I need sunscreen
it.
At
we
night?
Have to be afraid of moonlight. And yes. And I was like, what? So then I put this light fracturing technology into the even fracture moonlight. So you're not getting the constant, you know, assault.
Also,
of
can
the
I just stop and say you learned this at Versailles during your private tour?
I learned it at Versailles. And then I took it to the lab and asked more questions. But
I love it.
This is how my brain works. I don't shop makeup. I don't look at other brands. I'm not like, I look at the world and I look at the foam on the wall or the carpet that we're standing on.
And that's where your inspiration is. So yeah. You're making it sound very easy because you have so much inspiration. But what's been the biggest challenge for you business-wise?
I used to be afraid that I would run out of inspiration. But thank God I have more than I could ever use. I have more ideas than I could ever create. So thank God I've got that.
So you're good on
but
that.
But the hardest thing is the fucking business side of it. And there are layers of just...
Isn't that what Jeremy has to deal with?
Yes, but he's amazing. But just the bigger you get, you're assaulted by a bunch... You can be by a bunch of people who don't know shit and somehow got into these jobs and they're just causing trouble. Like they're only successful if they cause trouble.
Right.
Yeah. And
right.
It's that layer of like, what? How did you get here?
So give me an example. Like what's something that really pissed you off?
Oh, God. Do we really want to go here?
Yeah, we do.
I just think it's like I just don't want to wait. I'm in a race against time. My best friend when I was growing up, she died at 18. She had brain cancer and she passed away. And in that moment, well, thank you. But in that moment, I started racing against time. And I think that's just kind of something embedded into me. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to slow me down or you're going to weigh me down, we're not going to get along. Honey, I want wings, not weights, you know? And in every
like,
relationship.
We need this efficacy testing. He's like, no, we don't. Put it on the floor.
Yeah, no. Yes, we do. But I'm not going to wait 4 months for it. Like, okay, right, they can build a house on TV in 7 days, bitch. You get my test
like,
back.
Like, do it and, faster. Yeah,
right. Do you know what I mean? It's okay. Like, it's
things
like,
that don't slow down the cogs in the process.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Do you feel that since you have a tremendous corporate partner, you've had to kind of change your rhythm?
I had to learn to, you mean since the SDLR thing?
Yeah.
Well, it's just been growing the business.
Yeah, it's just it's gotten
terms.
So much bigger.
But since we joined the SDLR family, I had to learn how to dance to a bit of a different beat. But they're also learning how to dance to my beat. And
right.
I think that when you're an artist, and I not to sound like I'm an artist, but I have to think of myself that way because mm-hmm. I don't fit in anywhere else. I'm not a corporate person. I'm not like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't fit in anywhere. So I have to think of myself and what I do is kind of like art.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there are a couple amazing people within that corporation who know how to deal with artists. So I just kind of align myself with those people mm-hmm. and push forward.
It's so funny. He literally just answered the next question you were going to ask about how do you retain that sense of fun when you're working with the suits? But I feel like that's what you're talking about.
Listen, if I'll tell you truth, if I create something and I don't scare a couple of the suits, it worries me. I go back. Because my whole philosophy is I don't want everyone to like it. I don't want to be beige. I don't want to...
Was there a product name recently that you were like, let's call it this, and everybody was like...
Oh, yeah. Well, Better Than Sex, guys. Better
really?
Than Sex, the number one mascara in America and across
the world.
Isn't that
like why people, like, you know, why people are interested in you guys? Because of Better Than Sex?
I was told by multiple retailers that I could not name a mascara Better Than Sex. I could not put it in a pink tube. Nobody would take it seriously. And that's something that I've just been fighting against my whole life. And when I get that kind of opposition and I feel it in my gut, I fight harder. And we created a whole new category within the mascara world, which is there's how many pink tubes out there, you know, are there?
Yeah.
And I think that when you feel something in your gut, you have to go with it. And that's what I've learned. Follow your gut when there's that little voice inside you mm-hmm. that says yes, yes, yes. And everyone's telling you no. And listen, even people who love you might tell you no or not believe in you because they want you to take the safe road.
Yeah, they want to protect you.
They want to protect you. But if that little voice inside you says take the road less traveled, follow your gut, you have to do it. You have to do it. You'll always regret it if you don't.
A lot of listeners may be quitting their jobs tomorrow. Great.
No, but you got to be responsible. Yeah. I've always been responsible. But you need to do it. You got to follow your gut, guys. And you got to make those dreams come true because nobody's going to do it for you.
It's true. I don't think we can end on a more positive note, but we need to get practical.
Okay.
What are you using?
What do you mean?
On yourself?
Yeah, not like drugs. Like
I've never done drugs. Like, I'm like, I love champagne. Yeah, I never did drugs. I always just thought like people who did them were so boring.
How did this turn into a drug question?
I don't know. I said, what are you using? And he was like, looked at me like I was high. So
I don't know, but that's another thing. Like
product-wise.
Oh, God.
Like, but thank you for the anti-drug PSA. Very necessary.
You guys, there are just, it's just like simple shit that'll get you through life and not, you know, blow your whole world up. Like, don't put a needle in your arm. That's very simple.
From your line, what are some of your favorites?
Oh, gosh, what do I depend on and use every day? My Good to Go SPF 25 moisturizer is one of the favorite things I've ever created. I believe it's the best daytime moisturizer ever created in this whole world. I'd love for you two to try it. I'll send it to you. It is lightweight but super hydrating. It leaves a beautiful luminous glow behind where it looks like you just got a facial, and it lasts all day. Plus, you're getting four different sunscreens that layer together to give you ultimate protection.
But if we put makeup on top, is it going to pill?
No.
Because we've been talking about this.
Yeah, the pilling is a problem.
It's been designed to
face dandruff, we call it.
No, but those are different, like silicones and things that are, you don't want that. But it actually will grab onto your foundation and work as a primer.
Even okay. What if it's not your foundation? It's another brand.
Oh, I never test things that I create only on Too Faced products.
Smart.
No, because I'm not going to
expect. Who shops like that?
Who shops like that? Well, I wish you would, but but I don't assume. And you need to be able to, as a fan of other brands, I use other things, and you want to be able to have it work with whatever you're using.
Okay.
You know? And what do I use? Like, my chocolate brownie I'm obsessed with. It's like one of my favorite products.
The bronzer?
Products. Yeah, our new Born This Way powder foundation.
It's really nice.
Freaking amazing.
I couldn't believe you could get that name legally. I was like, wow.
What?
Born This Way.
Why not?
I just sounded like someone must have trademarked that already.
Yeah, I would think that Lady Gaga.
Yeah, or Lady Gaga. Yeah.
Oh, well, I wasn't even thinking that. It was a joke going on at the time where people were like, I woke up like this, like...
Maybe she's born with it, kind
of
thing.
You know what I mean? Yes.
Yeah. It was a combo of those two. Yeah.
All these girls are spending 2 hours in the mirror, and then they're like, what, me? Woo? I just woke up. I'm like, no, you didn't. So it really came from, you want to look like you were born like this, but, you know, go ahead and lie. Nobody needs to know. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. And one more question, just because your hair color is, like, making me very happy. Mm. Is that natural?
Thank you. Oh, yeah.
Who does your hair?
My blonde is natural.
Who does your hair color?
This amazing guy named Sean in L.A. He's a... He's a trainer, and he's this amazing guy.
How do you get
guy.
It to be not brassy? I feel like blonde, like it's nice and ashy and like lemony.
Yeah.
Do you use like a color shampoo?
No. But I sleep in a hair mask. I have very thick, coarse hair. It's actually very curly. I wake up with total.
Stop it.
Yeah, I wake up with a total fro every morning. It's funny. Like Jeremy laughs. But I sleep in a hair mask. I have to put oils and things in it. There's a few that I love. Right now, I'm using, what is it called?
Biolage?
Bionic? Oh,
give
know.
Us a couple more hints on that. I love
Olaplex. Mm-hmm. I love Shuamura. They have really good hair masks.
Yes.
I love, there's a hair oil that I love by Shuamura.
It's working for you.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Yeah. There's a cool brand. I feel really bad.
We'll find out. We'll put it on the blog later.
Yeah, we're going to be in touch with your PR.
Meanwhile, we have to go quit our jobs and like start a whole brand and be fabulous.
I feel really inspired.
Mm-hmm. I want you to follow your dreams. I want everybody to do their absolute best. It's your job. There will never be another one of you. Think about it.
True.
There will never be another one of you. There never has been one of you. So leave your mark, whether it's raising beautiful children or just loving your spouse the best way you can, or changing the world through your vision of what makeup should be.
Can I ask a question for you? Do you write your dreams down? Do you write your goals down? Are you one of those?
I'm not organized like that. No, I wish I did. It just all flows.
Because you remind me of like, I mean, I don't know if you guys are friends or not, but this conversation reminds me of when we spoke to Charlotte Tilbury, and she was very like, live your dreams. And it was very much about like
the
power
secret.
Of.
Put it out there.
Yeah, like manifestation. So I'm just I don't wondering
have,
what your vibe is.
No, I don't have like a philosophy or a theory. It's just, what I'm telling you is I'm living proof that your job is to figure out why you were born and do it. Because you matter. You matter.
Mic drop.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys.
Thank you so much, Jared. We adore you.
Thank you. Stay two-faced.
It's time to raise a wand.
First, I don't even know what to do after Jared. I'm like, I feel inspired. He's very inspiring. He's such a big personality.
I need whatever he's having. Like,
I love when you ask me, he's like, don't do drugs. I was like, he seems like he's had the best stuff. He's just what a guy. That was awesome.
Also, he has some style.
Oh, yeah. He was very stylish.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring it next week.
He was wearing like a bomber.
He don't wear Birkenstocks.
No. He had a Chanel bag that was the size of a briefcase.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He had some nice bling.
Let's bring some glamour for him with our Raise the Wands. Okay, you ready? So I pulled this out of my little makeup kit, and you said, do you love them? I love them, too. So this is like sort of a double Raise the Wands. It's the Chanel
Rouge,
Chanel Rouge Allure Liquid Powder. I'm not even going to call it a lipstick. It's got a sponge tip applicator, but it comes out like a creamy powder. But the texture, guys, it's like a veil of color.
It's like
satiny. It's not shiny. It's not matte. It feels like your actual lip texture if your lips were just like the perfect lips. And then the color sort of, it so sinks in that it looks like you're not wearing lipstick. That's just the color of your lips.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it. So I
don't know how they did it, frankly. It's that good.
I know. So I guess this is color number 960, which is like, what would you call that color?
Like a berry.
Like a berry?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I actually have it even in nudes. I can never wear nude lipstick because I feel like I look like a corpse. But the nudie pink color of this, because it's
That one. It's pretty.
Yeah. It's because it's such a natural texture, it doesn't wash you out or look chalky.
It's like a rose petal kind of color.
It's a really good. And also this tube, there's a lot of product in there because you only need a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Just a little bit.
I've had this for like 4 months. It's still going.
Don't do a strong squeeze.
This is not your liquid matte lipstick. Use this sparingly, sort of like a veil of powdery.
You're gonna
color.
Love it. And people have been asking me when I'm wearing mine, what is that? Because it has such an unusual finish
texture to it. Yeah.
It's not like gross and matte. It's like pretty. Okay. I also have a lipstick. We did not plan this.
No.
Okay. And it's another luxury lipstick. It's the Estee Lauder Pure Color Envy, which is, I believe, their like most luxurious.
The color payoff on those is
It's awesome.
Dope.
Luca is nodding. You'll meet Luca next week. Okay. So this is a brand new color just dropped at my desk this week. It's called Rebellious Rose.
Oh, that's their big color.
Oh.
And I think it's like one of those, it's signature color, sort of like when Clinique did Almost Honey and then they did a bunch of Almost Honey because people loved it.
Uh-huh.
Rebellious Rose.
Yeah, they do it in
you
a
like
gloss.
The name. You like the name too.
No, I really didn't know. I took it out because they sent a little package. I'm like, this is weird. Usually they sent a whole collection. And I was like, there's just one lipstick. And I opened it up. I was like on the phone. I was multitasking and I was like,
so
I gotta go.
Describe the color.
It's so beautiful. It's like a deep, deep rose. That feels, can I say like blue toned? Is
sure,
it like more blue toned?
Sure. You can.
And the color is really, listen, I like, you know, I never understood these girls who are like, I don't like lipstick because they don't like the way it feels. I like to feel it. I like to feel like I have a heavy, like weighted blanket on my lips. This feels so creamy and heavy, but in the good way. Like,
okay.
And you know you're wearing lipstick, you feel polished.
Offered people two sides of the lip color world.
Yeah, yours is like more natural, cool girl. This is like, you know, bitch, I'm wearing a lipstick. You know, like we are talking right now.
Love
like
it.
I want to see you in my office. Like, okay. It's so fresh, but the color is just so beautiful. And if you have green eyes or hazel eyes, I think the color really brings them out. Just a
gorgeous.
A little tip.
Thanks for listening. Fat Mascara is produced by our friends at Atwell Media. You can check out our website, fatmascara.com, for episode recaps, product recommendations, and discount codes.
And if you want to reach us directly, email us at info@fatmascara.com, or you can follow us on social, @fatmascara, shoot us a DM. And we'd love if you went over to iTunes and threw us a rating. How many stars?
Five, please.